This is Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. Tonight, I'm in the Takeda studio with the two hosts of Grassroots, musicians Mark Salgren and Darcy Wilkin. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Kara. It's great to be here with you. Love the work you've done for so many years here at this station.
Well, we're here to talk about you.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't really know where the conversation is going to take us tonight. I'd like to touch on the father and daughter relationship a little bit, the role of folk music in your lives, and how you see it continuing to spin out through the West Michigan community a little bit. But maybe we could start with some music.
What a great scope of what's going on in the world. And you know us pretty well, I can tell that right now.
Although as for our relationship, we can't stand each other.
That's we get really along so well.
I've
had fun raising this daughter and a great son, so life is good.
We hang out on purpose.
Yeah, because it is fun. Well, this song is something I put together, and it's all about my inadequacies and my lack of understanding of the world. And I grew up kind of in a situation where everything was rosy, you know what I'm saying? Kind of a Norman Rockwell kind of life. Never wealthy, never rich, but just so enriching, I guess I have to say that. And so when I saw people in trouble, people going off to jail and prison and just full of difficulties, I thought, oh my gosh, I've lived a good life and things are going so well and things are too rosy. So
here's a song for the people who walk a thin line, a song for the people that haven't got a dime, a song for the people up the river doing time. I'll remind you if you think everything is just fine. A long time ago I left a one-horse town, just one horse, but there were cows all around. Everybody thought everyone was so kind, never knew anyone caught in a bind. I headed off to school, I'm gonna be something big, something really special, but just another gig. And did a lot of reading and some writing too. I didn't pay attention to you and you and you. Here's a song for the people who walk a thin line, a song for the people that haven't got a dime, a song for the people up the river doing time. I'll remind you if you think everything is just fine. A whole lot of people just living in the street, freezing their tails and catching lots of heat. I'm sitting back in my easy chair, I've got it made, I've got goodies everywhere. I got my own PC and an iPhone too, video games, and so do you. People in the streets getting further behind, you know those answers are hard to find. There's a song for the people who walk a thin line, a song for the people that haven't got a dime, a song for the people up the river doing time. I'll remind you if you think everything is just fine. The 21st century hits us in the face. 1984 is just a book that lost a race. This brave new world is moving so fast. Yesterday seems so far in the past. The months roll by and the years do too. Most of us folks don't even have a clue. People in a hole getting deeper and deeper. Am I gonna say I'm not my brother's keeper? Here's a song for the people who walk a thin line, a song for the people that haven't got a dime, A song for the people up the river doing time. I'll remind you if you think everything is just fine. Here's a song for the people who walk a thin line. A song for the people that haven't got a dime. A song for the people up the river doing time. I'll remind you if you think everything is just fine. A song for the people who walk a thin line. A song for the people that haven't got a dime. A song for the people up the river doing time. I'll remind you if you think everything is just fine.
Everything is just fine. It's a song by Mark Sahlgren, played by Mark Sahlgren with Darcy Wilkin, his daughter. And if you just tuned in, we're listening to the two hosts of WMUK's Grassroots playing in our studio here at WMUK. Mark, I know you are terribly humble musician, but I hear a lot of hallmarks of what makes a great folk song in that song. You can identify with the sentiment in the song. The lyrics are both universal and specific. You know, you can really picture things in that song. You can apply it to your own life.
I kind of think everybody has run into somebody in that song somewhere along the way, and it's, as I can show, it gets difficult sometimes to sing some parts of it because I think of certain people that I recall from my past. And I guess one of the greatest compliments I ever heard concerning that song, somebody said, "Is that a John Prine song?" John Prine, whom I admire so much, and Darcy and I have had the privilege to do a concert with him once, and so to be alongside him, a great guy. I've known the family, the Prine family, for a long time. But somebody said, "Is that a John Prine song?" And I thought, well, that made me feel so good.
Darcy.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Tell me about your earliest musical memories.
Oh, my goodness. I grew up in the Sahlgren household, staying up way too late, and my folks would have parties a lot of the time. If you remember the Canterbury Coffee House from back in the early 70s when bands would come through, a lot of the time they'd stay at our house. And so not only did I get to go see all these concerts that were fantastic, but we'd often have a whole bunch of people over afterwards. And like I said, I just stayed up way too late and absorbed a whole lot of music my whole life. Or we'd go out to Pappy's and I'd play pinball while everybody hung around and ate pizza, and it was really, it was a great way to grow up. And then in the summertime, festivals, lots and lots of festivals. So for me, it was ideal. And we talked earlier about John Prine, and, you know, we'd go camping, and we'd be sleeping in our van, and there'd be a little cassette player, and I just remember John Prine songs playing from when I was, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years old.
A little bitty girl.
So he's definitely influenced me. And then, you know, my dad was in Sweet Corn for years, and I grew up with those songs banging around in my head too. So, yeah, it goes all the way back.
I apologize for all that.
Was there ever a time when it was just like, well, that's my dad's thing, I'm going to go be a punk rocker?
There was never a time when I didn't want to hang around with my folks or with the people that came through. The Red Clay Ramblers would come and stay at our house, and I knew that those weekends I wasn't making plans to be anywhere else because those guys were and are hilarious and talented. I don't ever remember thinking that they were lame or anything. There was a time when I didn't quite get classic country. I remember my mom being really into Dwight Yoakam, and it just didn't resonate with me, and now it totally resonates with me. But I never did go through one of those things where I thought my parents were kind of lame for... I also liked punk rock and still do, but this singer-songwriter thing is probably the closest thing to my heart as far as music goes.
When was Corn Fed Girls established?
1997.
It's so rare to find a group of people that can persist and have similar goals and energy levels. There's so many things that would naturally pull apart a group of musicians. So, well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. We're really, proud of that. And the neat thing is a great number of those people have been really good friends of mine for forever. Sarah Halsey first, who plays bass and sings like a maniac. Her dad was in Sweet Corn too, so I've known her since birth. It's kind of funny how it's worked out. We used to, when we were kids, go, wouldn't it be great? And we'll go to college together and we'll be roommates and we'll live next door to each other and our kids will go to school together. And half of that stuff came true. We have lived together. Our kids did go to kindergarten together. And now we do this together. And it's been going on now for 18 years. Phil Berry, I've known for a very long time. Mike First, I've known for a very long time. There have been a couple changes of personnel over the years. Folks that came and went, but still, even then, Ira Cohen, I've known since birth, and we play with Jay Gavin now, who's become a great friend, and John Campos, and the ties go back a really, really long way, and I'm sure that there are differences and fluctuations in energy levels and such, but never so much that we don't want to do it anymore, you know, and we all write together. That's the most fun, is we bring a song, and then everybody kind of gives their 2 cents here and there, and some people are really strong with arrangement, some people are really strong with harmonies, and I need all the help I can get from those guys.
So for this session, did you have to push to the back of your mind every note of the Beatles arrangements that you had to come up with with the Red Sea and Corn-Fed Girls?
Well, that's the other thing. I like to think of the Red Sea Pedestrians as our partners in crime, because we've just sort of, it's kind of like our bands are dating or something. We're in a long-term relationship with the Red Sea Pedestrians, and so we have collaborated on a bunch of projects, and you're referring to the Abbey Road Beatles extravaganza, and we did Sgt. Pepper's as well, and that really, those just started out as like, wouldn't it be fun if we all learn Abbey Road? That's a great record. And at the beginning, Ian Gorman, I remember him saying, I just kind of thought we'd learn the chords and play out once, and then it just morphed into a much larger thing. Part of it was that the appeal, I think, was there, but the other part is a lot of the people in those two groups, and myself included, don't really want to do anything halfway. So once it became, oh, we're going to play at the State Theater, then paper mache it up and get all this stuff together.
Oh, put the horn section together.
Horn sections, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I don't know if we'll be, you know, doing that sort of thing in the future, but we've collaborated with them since on other stuff.
It's what you really created was an unforgettable memory for everyone who was
thank you.
There. I think I saw the first one at Bell's in the garden, and the sun went down and the fireflies started. And from the very first note, I realized this project has gone so much farther than just learning the chords.
Oh, so much further, and so many hours, and thank you for saying that. We thought it was a Thursday night at Bell's, I think, and we figured, oh, there'll be, you know, a couple hundred people because people like the Beatles, and then it blew our minds because it was sold out, and it's a different kind of giddy than I've ever been before when we all got back at the end behind the, you know, before the encore and just went, oh my goodness, it was really neat. So I'm really glad. I didn't know if I would be really into that experience because I, of course, I love the Beatles, but I also like writing my own stuff. But man, have I learned a lot. You can't not learn a lot when you go through those brilliant songs. And
yeah, it's like intensive study of Beethoven quartets or something.
It felt like that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I'm sure it's informed my songwriting. I hope so.
Hey, do you have a song? Maybe now's a good time.
Sure.
Something you've been working on?
I do have a song. This is a new song, pretty new.
This is so new, I just heard it last night for the first time. So
it'll be flawless.
Yeah.
I write a lot of songs about heartbreaky stuff. I'm not the only one I've heard. I don't know how to describe it, we'll just do it. But
sure enough.
This is called When the World Was Flat.
Mm-hmm.
world was flat and the earth was king. And you said you'd wear my wedding ring. What I'd give to go back to that, when the earth was king and the world was flat. When the sun went round and death was sleep, and we would visit Atlantis in the deep. When our love made a peaceful sound, when death was asleep and the sun went round. When the wind told tales and Mars made war, when a single man could save your soul and render false all the pain that came before.
You know, I knew this was going to be a very special session. I just didn't realize how special this would be. That's Darcy Wilkin with a song she wrote, When the World Was Flat, accompanied by her father, Mark Sahlgren, and together they host Grassroots here on WMUK. But we're spending an hour today in the Takeda studio on WMUK's Let's Hear It. Darcy, that was just wonderful.
So pretty. Gosh.
Thank you.
Care to tell us a little more about what you were thinking when you wrote that song?
Honestly, I don't really remember what sparked it, except I liked the idea of juxtaposing all these things that the world used to think were true. And one of those things is now, you know, me and this person being together, or whoever that was. So, you know, if we could go back to when the world was flat and guys mm-hmm. could make gold and alchemy was a thing, you know, and some of them are probably my opinions about what used to be and what are now, I suppose. But that was the idea behind it. That one didn't take that long. It took a couple of, maybe a few days. The part that was hardest, there's a line at the end called that's the one infinite jest. And that is a line I still have trouble with, just because, for one, what does it mean? And for the other part, it's the name of that giant book that I, who is it? David Foster Wallace. That I've now tried twice to get through, and gosh, I will someday. But it's a little bit bordering on I don't know if it works in there, if it's cheesy or whatever.
Maybe it'll make more sense when you finish the book.
Gosh, I hope so. So,
well, if you just tuned in, my guests are Darcy Wilkin and Mark Sahlgren, hosts of Grassroots, and they're here today as musicians and kind of in the hot seat as interviewees. I'm sure that doesn't make you super comfortable.
It's a little bit funny feeling, actually.
It's just kind of different, but...
You're making us comfortable.
It's great because I see you around here a lot at WMUK, and you're such a wonderful person, and you're great on the air, too, so I'm thrilled to be a part of this.
It's funny to sit here and listen to you talk in your... I mean, your radio voice is your voice because it's not, you know, it's very genuine, but it's like, oh, it's I hear that driving around all the time. It's great.
Well, I wondered if you might have a similar thought when you're hosting Grassroots and you kind of realize anybody could do this. Anybody who loves the music could be here in my place because music is so personal. That there is the good and bad of it is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So there's no one perfect host that's going to say, I know for sure this is the best and this is the mediocre and this is the worst.
If you do that, I don't think people would keep listening. It's subjective for sure. That's the funniest part to me. I've only been doing this now about a year and 3 months or something, 15 months maybe. And that's the funniest part is like, who am I to program what people are going to listen to on a Sunday morning.
I'm almost 25 years and I feel the same way.
And you know, luckily, if I think it's if it's varied enough. I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the music is what is important, and our comments, whatever. Mm-hmm. If they work, fine. They may not always work. I don't know. And you start playing music from Guy Clark or something like that. There are a lot of things you could say because he's just an incredible writer. And, you know, you could throw in stuff like, well, he's been to our house. Well, that's kind of neat. But, you know, you leave a lot of things out because Guy Clark is a wonderful singer and a songwriter, and he just comes up with the most lyrical kinds of things and the coolest images. John Prine is that way, too. He might be more straightforward with dishing out lyrics, but one thing can mean something else.
Well, and if it's good enough, let's introduce it and get out of the way because we don't need to talk about it. Right. I mentioned my friend Ian Gorman earlier, and I remember him telling me, because he plays out by himself sometimes, and we all do on occasion, but he said, yeah, I always felt like if it takes longer to explain the song than it takes to sing the song, I'm not doing something correct there. And I completely agree. Mm-hmm. Let your music, you know, there are people that can do it, John Prine and Todd Snyder, and they can talk, and I'll sit all day long and listen to them. But for a radio show,
yeah,
it's not the point of that, you know?
The music is important. So, and I just love what Darcy has brought to the program. And, you know, we've been on the air for a lot of years, and it has evolved. And just like anything else, a family evolves, a person evolves, and businesses, everything changes. And I love the thing that Darcy has brought to that program, Grassroots. It's just amazing, and it's still based on the roots of our American music, and it does change. Yep, it does change. All music, all art changes.
Is it a paradox that folk music is accessible to everyone who can pick up a guitar, and yet there's the highest artistry you can find in this music as well? I mean, it's
if you put your fingers in the right place and then move your other hand the right way, anybody can play guitar. But I think it just comes down to, you know, it is, of course, subjective, but everybody feels like there's good stuff and there's bad stuff, you know. I think a good song can probably touch anybody.
Yeah. And as far as playing an instrument, there are a lot of instruments that can be played, and there are a lot of degrees of how far you want to go with an instrument. But just playing a chord, learning to play a chord is a lot of fun, and you just read it in a book. Oh my gosh, I love that sound. And by the way, Darcy is playing an old Gibson L00 that came out of Kalamazoo.
Here in my notes, I wrote gear. We got to go to the gear question.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because when people want to ask me about my gear, I can tell you as much as my dad just told you. It's an L00 and it's huggable and I love it. And then guitar dudes, often dudes, always dudes, say, well, what about this and this and what does it have? And I, that's as far as I can go. And I appreciate, you know, I'm a total geek about other things, but I'm not a geek about that stuff. Yeah. But this guy is a geek about that stuff. Mark Sahlgren is the biggest guitar geek I've ever met. Well, and I say that with admiration.
There are worse people than I into guitars. I enjoy them. And I was just pointing out that Darcy's is right from Kalamazoo from the 1930s and the early 1930s. And you play that around. And, of course, people look at this particular one. This guitar also came out of Michigan, but out of Big Rapids, Michigan. And but I love my old Gibsons, too. And I do have a preference for a lot of Gibson guitars. I've got a few of them. And I love those things that came out of Kalamazoo, Parsons Street.
Well, you worked on them. You worked at Gibson.
Yeah, I worked at Gibson back in the late 60s, so from 65 to 70. And
if I could have that guitar smell in my house all the time, I'd be pretty happy.
Guitar smell.
The workshop must have smelled great.
Not all guitars. New ones. But it was great experience working at Gibson, and I love the attention that's being brought back to the whole smokestack thing now, you know, and it has created, that issue alone has created an awareness of that wonderful business that grew up in Kalamazoo from actually the late 1800s when Orville Gibson lived in Kalamazoo and started building guitars. It's pretty amazing to me.
I'm talking with Mark Sahlgren and Darcy Wilkin here on WMUK's Let's Hear It, and they are here in the studio with their guitars playing some music for us on the program and out of their comfort zone as hosts of Grassroots. Maybe I can suggest we take another break for music and hear another song.
Do you want to dig out that old banjo you were talking about?
Let me dig out this banjo just a moment here.
This is an old traditional song called The Cuckoo, and Pop's going to play it on his fretless banjo, and I'm going to sing. Thank you.
one thing. It's been a puzzle since the daytime began. It's a man's love for his woman and her sweet love for her man. Well, the cuckoo, she's a pretty bird, and she warbles as she flies. She never hollers cuckoo till the fourth day of July.
You're listening to WMUK's Let's Hear It with Darcy Wilkin and Mark Salgren, the two hosts of Grassroots. Great singing, Darcy.
Thank you very much.
The cuckoo.
The cuckoo.
It sounds really old.
It is really old. It's so old, I don't know.
They can't even trace it. It's so old. Back to old England, but, you know.
There's also like 8,000 different versions of it.
Yeah, there are so many versions of that song, and it's full of metaphors. If you just think of it as a bird, whale, it's beyond birds. It's about love and leaving. And
oh, man, I thought it was all about birds.
Yeah, well.
I don't get it. No, I do.
Ornithology is one thing, but this ain't it.
And the instrument that you're holding there, Mark, also looks pretty old.
Yeah, it's almost as old as I am. This is from the late 1850s. And it's a fretless banjo with kind of a brass fingerboard on it. I never really knew how old it was until I talked to my buddy Stan Werben and Mike Seeger, who I got to know quite well, Pete Seeger's half-brother. And Mike was really new about these things, so he would look at instruments like this and he could tell what era it came from. There was no real factory around making banjos in the 1850s, at least not this type of banjo. So this was made by, you never know, somebody somewhere along the line. But every line in it, I'm showing you, I'm holding it like I'm on camera here, but every line in it says late 1850s. So,
well, I was looking at it, and you said it was a brass fingerboard, and I was from here, it has a real greenish tint. I had no clue what the material was.
Well, as
and there's
brass,
kind of little cheat dots.
There are little
dots,
funny
yeah.
little dots on there, like where the notes might be. They're not, if you follow those, it's not real accurate. So
use your ears.
Yeah, I don't really look at those, but you can see that the worn places where I tend to play more, at least on that song. But it is brass, and in the greenish part is anything oxidizes. Brass oxidizes, like copper, gets green. So.
It's 150 years of
oxidation.
Yeah. A lot of time,
I just think it's the coolest sounding tone. That's probably one of my favorite instruments that you have for sure.
Yeah, it shares a different sound, isn't it?
And, Well, I feel like I could keep you here forever and keep asking for more about the art of folk music, but one thought that occurred to me is how modernity falls away in folk music. This song sounds current because the person is still dealing with love and loss. It's something we deal with every day today, and it puts me in mind of the song you wrote and that you played at the beginning of the show about putting on other people's shoes to see how life looks from their point of view. And that's what you do in folk music all the time. You imagine their stories.
Yeah, and I think as Pete Seeger said, you know, most all good songs, if it's going to be a good song, it will have universal appeal. Even if it's about your own experiences, it strikes somebody as something that happened to them as well. So that's the way a lot of songs hit us, all the songs we listen to as we grow up. Why do you like it? Because it means something to me. It means something to you. And that's why these, a lot of these songs, like the folk songs, they live on and on and on.
So. I bet you've gotten to the place where you've forgotten songs, and then when you find them again, you're like, oh, I love that song.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's the same way with recordings. As you know, you listen to CDs, and the first time through, you heard a dozen years ago, man, I didn't like that. And you listen now, and man, why did I put that aside? This is fantastic stuff.
So. I love it when it happens with songwriters, because we keep talking about John Prine. I probably talk about John Prine every other day to somebody. but I've listened to everything he's ever done over and over and over again. And then once in a while I'll put on a record and I go, wait a minute, I don't even really remember that song very much. And it just gets me all over again.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
You know? Things will strike you differently. It depends on the times that you go through and everything. So,
well, I hope we'll see you out and about at the festivals and different shows for Corn Fed and everything else. Thank you so much, Mark and Darcy, for coming to WMUK and playing on Let's Hear
It. Thank you, Kara, for having us.
Thanks for having us, yeah.
You can hear Darcy Wilkin and Mark Salgren every Saturday night and Sunday morning on WMUK's Grassroots. This weekend, you're also guaranteed to run into them at the 2015 Cooper's Glen Music Festival, which features workshops and performances at the Radisson Plaza Hotel in downtown Kalamazoo. The festival this year features Tim O'Brien and Special Consensus, as well as local talents Who Hit John and Riley Bogus and Dirk Powell. Event details are at greatlakesacoustic.org. I'm Kara LaRance. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It,